And what we found is that in neighborhoods like downtown, where there was lots of pedestrian infrastructure, drivers tend to get blamed more than pedestrians when they hit a car. And this is, again, beyond just where the crash occurred, just like who's considered to be at fault. But in other neighborhoods like Hilltop and Linden, where there's little pedestrian infrastructure, it's very spare, very sparse, so we're not protecting pedestrians there, we found that pedestrians tend to be blamed more. And this is really a bit ironic, if not hypocritical, because what we're doing in some of these neighborhoods is we're just not giving pedestrians safe infrastructure that allows them to get across some of these arterial roads. And then when they make an error occasionally and just go for it and get hit by a car, we blame them. And we really should be looking at the more systemic factors that lead to why pedestrians are making these choices, looking at where we're providing safe pedestrian infrastructure. So pedestrians are facing an especial challenge in these neighborhoods. First of all, they don't have good pedestrian infrastructure, so they're at risk of being hit by cars. But then when something happens, we tend to blame them. And I think that one of the messages of our research is that we can't just rush to assign individual blame. We have to look at the built environment and infrastructure surrounding the crash to really understand what's going on.
And your study suggests redesigning the crash forms to include information on the built environment. And that, you say, would influence our understanding of these crashes.
Exactly. You know, we take a safe systems view of transportation, which means that we realize that humans are going to make errors. And what we try to do is mitigate harm from these errors. And a safe system approach, it's basically a viewpoint that says that risk is derived from all of the system, not just human decision making. But in our crash reporting forms, we basically bias the reporting towards individual fault, not looking at the broader environment. And if we really want to take a safe systems approach to designing our roads, and we want to be in line with Vision Zero efforts, I don't know if you know about Vision Zero, but it's basically came out of Sweden in the 1990s. It's an attempt to drive traffic fatalities down to zero. Vision Zero initiatives require us to take a holistic look at the infrastructure and look at why these errors are occurring. So go beyond the backward-looking view of just blaming individuals and looking more at the systemic features, such as how we're designing roads and what kind of infrastructure we're providing to protect people.
You mentioned that lower-income neighborhoods experience more difficulties for pedestrians. What steps could be taken to address this?
Well, we could provide better pedestrian infrastructure, and this means, you know, more signalized crossings, certainly ones that are not as far apart as we see in some of these neighborhoods, and especially near bus stops, because in lower income neighborhoods, people are more dependent upon public transit, walking and biking as means of transportation compared to the general population. So we need to basically design our streets and roads for this, which means providing better pedestrian infrastructure, more frequent crossings, especially near bus stops, because that's a big factor. And also redesigning our streets to try to make them safer, to stop emphasizing the speed of traffic, which is how we design our roads now to facilitate fast moving traffic, and think more about how to design our roads to be safer. And right now we're failing pedestrians in some of these lower income neighborhoods because these are places where you find these arterial roads and where you find highways and where you find the most dangerous street designs. So we're failing them by putting these very dangerous street designs in these neighborhoods and then also not providing the pedestrian infrastructure that would keep them safe. And then on top of this, we're blaming them when something happens rather than looking at this lack of infrastructure.
Given the findings of your study, you mentioned a number of actions. So what would be maybe the most immediate action you would recommend to cities to improve the safety situation?
Well, the most immediate action is that we have to do better with pedestrian crossings. You know, we have to place them more frequently in these arterial roads, and we have to place them near bus stops where people are getting on and off public transit. That's the most immediate thing that we can do. More generally, in thinking more long term, we have to start thinking more holistically about why pedestrians and cyclists as well are being hit by cars and what the implications are for how we design our roads. Right now, we're designing roads where free-flowing traffic and speed is the number one priority, and safety is much lower priority if considered at all. So one thing we can do is basically redesign our roads to slow drivers down, especially in complex environments like these arterial roads, where not only do you have lots of traffic and you have bus stops, but you also have a lot of stores and restaurants and other things that lead to a lot of complexity. This mixture of high-speed travel and the complexity of commercial environments is just something we should not be mixing together. We really need to think about how do we separate these things and to slow drivers down where we expect to see pedestrians.
Well, Professor, those are excellent points. I'm just wondering, as we wrap this up, if you have any final words for our listeners.
I think that we need to rethink how we design streets, as I've been talking about, that we basically have prioritized speed as the primary objective of our streets, roads, and highways. And we've also basically treat drivers as more important than pedestrians, cyclists, and public transit users. And we don't have to design streets this way. We can design them to be safer. It does mean that traffic may not flow as smoothly as possible, and people may have to slow down a bit. But for that type of sacrifice in terms of speed and flow, we could be saving thousands of lives every year in the United States.
And our guest has been the co-author of this study we've been talking about, Harvey Miller, professor of geography at The Ohio State University and director of the Center for Urban and Regional Analysis. Professor, thank you so much for joining us today.
I'm happy to. Thank you very much for inviting me.
You're listening to InfoTrack, a production of Syndication Networks.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Brakes? We can save you 15% on that. We have OE quality Duralast brake pads and rotors in stock, ready for pickup or delivery. We also have calipers, brake fluid, tools, and anything else you'll need to do the job right. When you get Duralast pads and rotors together, you'll save 15%. It's just part of what makes us America's number one brakes destination.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
At Progressive, we love sports and saving you money, so we bundled them together.
The final horse now in the gate, and they're off. They're starting off with a double toe loop jump, leaving a difficult 7-10 split as there's movement on the inside rail. Only 9 pins separate them now as they head to the final quarter mile. They're neck and neck. It's down to the last frame. Here comes the actual jump. They bundled their home and auto insurance with Progressive. Win, strike, savings, gold.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
It's a shocking number, $28 billion. Money lost by older Americans each year due to financial scams. And much of it is stolen by people known to the elderly victims. How can seniors protect themselves? InfoTrack's Roy Mackey has the story. Roy?
Thank you, Chris. Marilyn Horta is a University of Florida research scientist and the first author of this new study, which was published in the journal Scientific Reports. Dr. Horta, let's begin with a broad view. How serious of a problem are financial scams that target the elderly today?
Well, it's a very concerning issue facing a lot of older adults today. It's estimated that older adults lose upwards of $28 billion a year collectively due to financial exploitative scams that target them specifically.
Tell us a bit about your study and what you found. The research utilized a deck of cards, right?
Yes, it was an experimental study. We had participants come to the lab and basically play a game on the computer where they had to select from several decks of cards. On the face of the cards, instead of a regular bicycle brand that you might expect, there were pictures of faces. So we didn't give participants instructions necessarily beyond that they were expected to maximize as many points as possible throughout the task. And basically over time, they learned which decks were more advantageous to choose from. And basically what we found is that older adults had a little bit more difficulty learning over time which decks were the best cards to choose from. And that could have been due to a bias of choosing from decks of cards with trustworthy versus untrustworthy faces on them.
So what does this say about first impressions for older people?
Yeah, first impressions are just one piece of information that we use to create an opinion of other people. And although they do have an influencing effect initially, we could definitely learn over time and adapt our initial perceptions to have a more accurate representation of how another person behaves or what characteristics that person might possess. In other words, whether or not that person is trustworthy or not.
We're talking with Marilyn Horta, a research scientist from the University of Florida, who led a study that found that older adults have a harder time overcoming their first impressions of people's trustworthiness when that trust is violated, potentially leaving them more open to deception and scams. Marilyn, I understand that fraud often happens through family members. Can you perhaps give us some examples of how that can happen and what seniors should be on the lookout for?
Yes, it's estimated that about 3/4 of financial exploitation happening to older adults is perpetrated by close known others. These things tend to happen incrementally over time. For example, someone requesting for a transfer of assets or a signature on a piece of paper that you might have not read thoroughly. So this is a very unfortunate situation where in these cases that the individuals that people feel the closest to might be the ones that also engage in these untrustworthy behaviors. And basically what we're advocating for is for older adults to be more mindful of whether or not their close others are behaving in an uncharacteristic way, just to continually monitor the behavior of others and protect yourself throughout time. Technology is also an important issue to consider. We're finding that an increasing number of scams are being perpetrated over the internet. Some of the research that our lab does in particular is looking at phishing emails. So for example, whether or not older adults are clicking on suspicious links, also if they're opening emails that appeal to like a sense of urgency or some other potential weapons of influence, these are things that older adults need to look out for.
I've also heard of scams where someone will call and pretend to be a family member and request money to be wired or sent in some way.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's on the rise as well. Definitely using artificial intelligence, scam artists are able to sample the voices of even close others and target individuals in certain ways. So it's important to be vigilant in that respect, whether it's on the phone or online or in person, of potential exploitive tactics that people might use.
So based upon what you learned in your study, do you have any additional advice for older Americans?
Yeah, so I would just say to just be mindful of your social experiences with others and to be attuned to the fact that even individuals that you know really well could behave in uncharacteristic ways, and your perception of whether or not someone is trustworthy should be a dynamic thing. Like, it should be able to be updated over time.
Marilyn Horta, research scientist from the University of Florida, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
And for InfoTrack, I'm Roy Mackey.
And that's it for this week's show. Our internet services are provided by Pear Networks, the home of world-class web hosting. InfoTrack's executive producer is Randy Meyer, and I'm Chris Whitting. We hope you'll join us right here next week for another edition of InfoTrack.
WCFW-FM Chippewa Falls, a civic media radio station with the best of the 80s, 90s, and more. 105.7 CFW.
This is 105.7 CFW.
CFW.
streets, 'cause she's my companion. I walk through the hills, 'cause she knows who I am. She sees my good deeds and she kisses the wind. And I never worry, now that is a lie.
Entire Chippewa Valley. We're your first choice for fun music. 105.7 CFW.
Makes me feel like I feel.
as much a part of the valley as River Prairie and Red Cedar State Trail. This is 105.7 CFW, the Valley's fun music.
like a knife. Yeah, when I feel so
CFW, streaming 24/7 on the free Civic Media app.
Somebody's me. I gotta be a man. There ain't no other way. 'Cause girl, you're hotter than a Southern California day. I don't wanna play no games. You don't gotta be afraid. Don't give me all that shy sh- no makeup on. That's my sugar.
CFW.
Informed and entertained throughout Eau Claire and the Chippewa Valley.
On air and on the Civic Media app. 1057 CFW.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Go ahead, feel your engine. Admire that perfectly installed exhaust. Your vehicle's moving along this freeway like it was made from fresh installs and a whole lot of love. With eBay Motors, you get over 122 million parts to keep it running. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, they'll be the perfect fit every time. Plus, at these prices, well, we're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
Have you always wanted to paint? Well, now's your chance, as Link's Tome of Adventures in Chippewa Falls is hosting a painting workshop. The best part? All skill levels are invited. Unleash your inner artist on Thursday, March 14th from 3 to 7. All supplies are provided too. The first day of spring is right around the corner, March 19th, and if it has you thinking about your garden, you may want to learn how and why to grow organic vegetables. Sunbow Farm on Langdale Road in Eau Claire is hosting special classes every Wednesday through the end of the month. Find more information at sunbowfarm.com. If you're more into gazing at the stars, the planetarium inside Phillips Science Hall at UW Eau Claire is open to the public March 14th, starting at 7. Learn more about the night sky and ask your questions too. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Chippewa Valley weather.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll see partly sunny skies today. There will be a slight chance of rain in the afternoon. Breezy with highs in the upper 60s, which would absolutely shatter the record high that's in the upper 50s for today. Mostly cloudy, mid-30s tonight. More rain chances Monday. Currently 44 degrees.
CFW.
CFW.
1057 CFW.
Surprise.
Here she comes again.